Moses came down from the hill, holding the rules in his hand. Looked all around, suddenly found no one was listening. Now it's time to throw down. So throw down, throw down, we'll throw down.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the very first edition of Near Fall Radio here on the Butt Munch Chips Network. My name is Landon Doan, and I am joined, as I will always be, by my partner in crime, my co-host. Hey, you might even call him my tag team partner, since this is a wrestling podcast. I wouldn't, but you might. Will Rab. Rab, how are we doing this afternoon?
I'm doing good. 434 days of awesome.
Wow.
And counting.
Just right out of the gate, we're going big, right?
Go big or go home.
Very true. I guess that makes us the best in the world. The self-proclaimed best in the world.
Yeah, this podcast will prove our greatness.
Well,
just give it time.
Well, I'm not one to downplay ourselves, but at the same time, I don't think I'm as verbose as you, but maybe that'll work out for us.
Maybe that's why we're the, tag team champions.
Well, I am the tag team champions, but that's for a different time and place. But you might be asking yourself, since you're about a minute into this, what the hell is this that I'm listening to? Well, like I said, this is Near Fall Radio here on the Butt Munch Chips Network. It's mine and Rab's wrestling podcast, because Rab and I, we happen to be fans of the sweet science of professional wrestling.
Yes, and you can only have so many conversations in the break room before people get tired of it. So
Yes. Rab and I work at Cumulus Knoxville, and I'm on News Talk 98.7. He's on the Sports Animal, but we share a break room, and I can't tell you how many times I've heard Channing Smith or Chris Marion, or I think Mickey Dearstone yelled at us one day about talking about too much wrestling.
Well, Mickey yells about everything. Mickey yells about the coffee not being black enough.
Or if you get the wrong brand of Dunkin' Donuts. Sorry about that one, Mick.
He doesn't like that sissy coffee.
No, he does not. He let me know very, very, very quickly.
Well, we also figured that since these conversations we have are so awesome.
Yeah, again.
And really
again,
good conversations.
We think so, but also we're modest.
Well, we figured we might want to share our thoughts with other, people other than ourselves and the break room,
Very true. We're both arrogant enough. We think people care what we have to say, and we're arrogant enough. We think we're entertaining when we talk, which kind of explains why we went into journalologism, right?
It also explains why we're doing a wrestling podcast on the internet, because that is what the internet is for: lies,
mm-hmm. and pornography. Bragging, and bragging.
And pornography, yes.
But we're going to try and keep pornography out of our wrestling podcast, because that has all sorts of negative overtones.
Nobody wants to see either one of us naked.
Well, you, I know for sure. But me, on the other hand, people have paid to see the Lanaconda.
Ah.
Yeah, not really. No. And I would like to point out we're 3 minutes into the very first episode, and that is the first penis joke we've made here on Near Fall Radio.
Success.
Off to a good start, Rab.
Many more to come. I guess we should start with what we talked about while we're doing a podcast. We like wrestling. And
to get famous and rich and ladies.
Yes, pretty much. The Ric Flair path to success.
Woo.
I guess we should start why we're doing a wrestling podcast and not, like UEFA Champions League soccer.
Or a YouTube channel about us talking about wrestling. The short answer to that is Rab doesn't have a face for a camera.
Yeah, that the short answer. The long answer is that we just, really love wrestling. But why do we really love wrestling, I guess, is where we should start. And since we're at your house on your equipment.
Oh, wow.
Well, you can start, and that way I can think about what I'm going to say so it won't suck.
Fair enough. All right. Well, for me, the reason I'm doing a wrestling podcast is because, A, like you've said, I'm a big fan of wrestling. My hand to God, very first memory is of me sitting on my papa's knee watching the Hart Foundation, Bret the Hitman Hart, and Jim the Anvil Neidhart fight Demolition. There was probably Axe or Smash, or maybe it was Crush or Mush, or all of Demolition really looks the same to me. But I remember them hitting the heart attack on Axe or Smash or Mash or Ash or whatever his name was. And I was hooked ever since then. I mean, I grew up, I wanted to be a professional wrestler. For the longest time, I was going to be a professional wrestler. And my folks even told me years later when we were at dinner one night, it's like, my mom said, I was actually at one point very afraid you were going to become a professional wrestler. So we started throwing stuff at you. Like, my parents sent me to space camp for 3 years, but it didn't have the outcome that my folks were looking for because I came back wanting to be an astronaut who was also a wrestler. And luckily,
that's a great character, by the way.
I know, right? I'm actually kind of surprised we haven't seen one of those in the WWE, or at least TNA.
A really bad, like, Buzz Lightyear knockoff?
Yeah, or maybe it could be the character from 30 Rock, astronaut Mike Deckard.
Nice.
Liz Lemon's fictional boyfriend. By the way, I miss you, 30 Rock. But, yeah, I always wanted to be a professional wrestler, but when I got to the point where, you know, the physical aspect started to come up, I have a body built for radio. Let's just put it that way.
You're much better at producing radio and drinking beers. You have a body built for, like, drinking beers and eating wings.
Yes, yes. I actually have a body built by beer, so.
Body by beer, yeah.
Yeah, body by beer. I like that. That's our new sponsor here on the Butt Munch Chips Radio Network, Body by Beer.
Hey, I know a guy who can be our celebrity endorsement.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, but we can't talk about it on air.
Yeah,
kayfabe.
Well, I guess that is the reason why I'm doing a wrestling podcast. And I also want to do a wrestling podcast because I have the URL for buttmunchchips.com, and I've been...
You need content.
I need content, and I've been trying to get my podcasting network off the ground. So here we go, bitches.
Well, for me, I don't remember a seminal match or anything because my parents weren't into wrestling, really let me watch it. And I totally get it because my first memories of wrestling are the Attitude Era.
Yeah, so probably not the best era for a little kid to watch.
But I had friends who would watch wrestling, and they would come over the house and we'd talk about it or this match, and they mm-hmm. would tell me about stuff that was going on.
Yep.
And then I'd watch it some, like I'd watch it in my room on like Monday nights because my parents let me have a TV because they trusted me. Why, I don't know.
Yeah. Or, well, one of those great questions we might never know the answer to.
Yeah, let's give a teenage boy a TV with cable and his own computer.
Oh, wow, they gave you your own computer? Wow.
I had a computer in my room, yeah.
Rab.
Yes.
Rab.
You know where I'm not gonna.
You were in the AOL WWF chat room, weren't you? Keyword WWF.
Keyword Trish Stratus. Keyword Stratus faction. We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's enough of that. But
yeah.
Just off and on, we'd see it on TV or whatever. We'd talk about it with friends and. Growing up in the Attitude Era, I remember everybody running around on the playground.
I mean, in the Attitude Era, yeah.
Yeah,
everybody was
in trouble.
crotch chopping birds because Stone Cold did it the night. But I remember my dad was taking me and my brother to school on a Tuesday the night after The Rock, for the very first time, introduced me and my younger brother to the term Poontang Pie. And so on the way to school, my younger brother, for no reason at all, screams at the top of his lungs with my dad in the front seat, Poontang Pie, just at the top of his lungs for no reason other than the fact that The Rock said it last night. And my dad had a very awkward conversation with us afterwards.
You know, I think one of the first wrestlers other than, you know, the Stone Cold Steve Austin's and The Rock's, one of the first wrestlers that I really got into was RVD. And I don't remember specific matches again as a kid, and I didn't watch it frequently enough because I had to kind of sneak it from my parents. But watching RVD as the TV champ.
Yep. Now
on Extreme Championship Wrestling on TNN on Friday nights.
Wow, you're going way back.
This is when they had that Friday night block, and I think it was Roller Jam and ECW.
Yeah, and ECW, yeah. And wasn't there a
Monster
Truck?
Jam.
Yeah.
And that's what that's the original thing is, as a kid, I liked Monster Trucks.
Ah, so Monster Trucks is kind of what put the hook in you and drug you along.
Yeah, always liked the Samson monster truck, and that kind of looked like a wrestler. And I think Hulk might have had a monster truck.
Undertaker still has a truck going.
And I remember,
actually, the truck is getting more work than the actual wrestler right now.
I remember the NWO truck.
I remember that.
That had the unknown driver that didn't talk to the media.
Yep.
Chad Fortune from WCW.
That's how big, I mean, back in that Attitude Era, that's how big wrestling was, to the point where the NWO, a stable on WCW, had its own monster truck, and the driver stuck to the story. He didn't talk to the media. He was, quote-unquote, part of the NWO.
So as a kid, I never, like, I never followed wrestling to like the point that I do now. Thank God for being able to go watch like the documentaries and catch up on all that stuff.
Oh my
but
God,
it just
yeah.
always interested me. And the older I got, the more I would watch it.
Well, and you make reference to the documentaries now, and I really have to tell you, with the way technology's gone, it makes it that much easier to be an informed wrestling fan. I mean, if you have a Netflix account, you can watch what WWE has at least 30 documentaries up there, and a lot of their newer stuff. I mean, the CM Punk DVD that came out, what, 3 months ago?
That's just about all I watch on Netflix.
And I mean, Netflix has all those documentaries. I mean, Wikipedia. Wikipedia is, well, it's an encyclopedia, but at the same time, it's one of those things, all right, I need to check out something on Bret Hart. Oh, okay, well, there's a link to, you know, Lance Storm. I'll click on that. Lance Storm also trained in the dungeon with Chris Jericho, so now I'm clicking on Chris Jericho. And then 15 minutes later, I'm reading about when he was Lion de Cortizone in Mexico. Yeah, like way before he even got to ECW.
Same thing, and the next thing you know, I'm reading about a Punjabi prison match.
Oh, Jesus. The less we say about the Punjabi prison, the better.
Yes, I agree. But, you know, I missed, I guess, what would be the magic of being like a kid and like watching like a WrestleMania and like that great Stone Cold Bret Hart match. I feel like I've experienced that because I've watched that and I can go back now and I can watch the great matches or I can watch a documentary.
Very true.
And you know about the people and you know about the business.
Well, and see, you say on the one hand you don't remember that one magic moment, but you don't have to because there are now all these amazing documentaries where it's like me, I very vividly remember Royal Rumble, the one where Lex Luger and Bret Hart eliminated each other at the exact same moment. And I didn't watch this live. I watched it on tape. After watching the Royal Rumble, I made my mom take me back to the video store so I could return the Royal Rumble and rent WrestleMania 10 so I could see just what happened. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what it is for me. Is I don't, like I said, I don't remember exactly where. I just know that, like, I was introduced to wrestling, and I thought, this is cool.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a match or a character or anything, but it was in that Attitude Era, and it was in the Monday Night Wars, and that's what made me a wrestling fan.
The Monday Night Wars were a magical time. Yes. I mean, it's like, for me, it's one of those things. I've always been a fan of wrestling. I mean, hell, like I said, my first memory was of watching Bret the Hitman Hart, which, by the way, I was a huge Hitman fan growing up, but, I mean, for you, I mean, it's one thing. For me, it's another. But that's the cool thing. No matter how we got into it, we're now all part of this fraternity, or if you're a lady wrestling fan, a sorority of, well, the sweet science of professional wrestling.
The squared circle.
Squared circle.
I guess the other thing that we wanted to talk about as we open up the show today is a bit of some sad news.
Yes. Unfortunately, on our very first episode, in our very first segment, we have to talk about some sad news, namely the untimely passing of Bear, who was, as most of us know him as, the former manager of The Undertaker. Some of us might know him as Percy Pringle, but his real name was actually William Moody. And, yeah, somebody who I've always had in my life in one way or another has passed away. I mean, I remember telling you before we started recording that at the age of 8, I knew what a pallbearer was. It was the manager of The Undertaker. Of course, like when I was 13, 14, I actual pallbearer was, but that's always been definition number 2 behind the guy who managed The Undertaker. So I'm very sad to hear that he passed.
It's amazing to think the career he had in professional wrestling, and you talk about either as Paul Bear or Percival Pringle III.
The third, yeah.
Yeah. Great, one of the greatest managers of all time, right?
Easily,
up there.
Easily one of the best.
Anybody else. And, you know, we started talking, I think we talked about him a few weeks ago. When we went watch Elimination Chamber, we started talking about him.
Yep.
Because we were talking about Card Subject to Change.
Yeah.
That really good indie documentary.
Another documentary on Netflix. Seriously, if you're a wrestling fan, you need Netflix at this point.
It's amazing. And I didn't even seek it out. I was watching Netflix one day, and pretty much all I'd been on Netflix for about a month at the point. Pretty much all I'd watched was Friday Night Lights and wrestling documentaries.
Pretty good combination, if I do say so myself. Clear eyes, full heart, can't lose.
For some reason, Netflix's day still really wants me to watch that. What's what's that kid's movie about the little orange thing that takes care of the trees, the Lorax?
Yeah, yeah, the Dr. Seuss one.
I don't know. My top 10 is the Lorax and 9 wrestling documentaries for some damn reason.
One of these things is not like the other.
But no, I'd just got done watching this documentary. They followed this UFC fighter for 8 months while he trained, and it came up card subject to change. I'm like, that sounds cool.
And it's funny, if you notice, at the bottom of every single wrestling poster, commercial, promo, always at the bottom, asterisk, card subject to change.
Go watch this documentary. It's amazing.
Yeah, I actually watched it last week, and it's kind of ironic. It made me start thinking of Paul Bearer because I saw him last week. It is a really good documentary. It follows around Kevin Sullivan, who, of course, for I guess wrestling fans my age and older will remember when he was running around in WCW with the Dungeon of Doom, which that reminds me. I'm a big fan of the WWE YouTube show, Are You Serious? And at one point, they're talking about the Dungeon of Doom, and Road Dogg asked, where was the Dungeon of Doom? Because everybody really seemed to not have a problem finding it back in the 90s. Are You Serious? Is fantastic. It's Mystery Science Theater meets wrestling. And it's hosted by Road Dogg and Josh Matthews. And this is really one of those times when WWE buying everybody's license to show every wrestling match of all times really comes into,
yes,
comes into effect, because they can get the most obscure crap from like the AWA or like Memphis. Well, I don't know if they have Memphis.
I think they might have. They would only have this stuff where CWA worked with AWA.
Yeah, that's right.
On those super cards. But anyway, start to wind down this first segment is to sad loss of Paul Bearer, aka, yes, Bill Moody, mm-hmm, a great man in the
also
business,
also known as Percy.
And we send our thoughts out to his family and,
of course,
the wrestling community.
Mm-hmm. They lost a good one in Paul Bearer. So, yeah, I think that's going to do it for the first segment. We're going to toss to a quick break. Stay tuned. You're going to hear a little bit of music. We'll be back in about a minute just to kind of let what you heard process so we don't overload you with our awesomeness, I guess. Is that a thing?
Yeah, that is a thing.
Okay, yeah.
And we'll come back and we'll talk about what's going on in the current wrestling scene as we build towards Mania.
Yeah, I hear we're on the road to WrestleMania. Yes, as we all point to the banner in the Palacious Butt Munch Chip Studios, we'll take you to break. So keep it locked. You're listening to Near Fall Radio here on the Butt Munch Chips Network.
This podcast is brought to you by Butt Munch Chips. And now, a word from our sponsor.
Potato chips! Who doesn't love them? I'll tell you who. Nobodies and terrorists. Hi, everybody. Seymour Butts, president and overlord of Butt Munch Chips. We here at Butt Munch Chips live by a simple motto. Sit on your butt and munch, and we invite you to do the same. So go on down to your local groceria and get yourself a bag of America's favorite cause of obesity. That's Butt Munch Chips. Sit on your butt and munch.
Welcome back in. It is Near Fall Radio on the Butt Munch Chips Radio Network. Coming to you from the Body Bob Beer Studios in secure underground bunker, parts unknown.
Yes, yes. We got a sponsorship in the last break.
We did. I was able to finalize the contract.
Amazing what you can do when you're recorded live by a studio audience, right?
Amazing what you can do in 1 minute of bumper music. We can draw up legal contracts.
Yep. Welcome to the future, ladies and gentlemen. But before we went to the break, we were talking about, I don't know if you've heard this or not, Rab, but we're on a road a road to WrestleMania as we all point to the banner here in the Palacious Butt Munch Chip Studios.
Absolutely.
But, Rab, why don't you set the stage for us what we have so far for Mania?
Well, so far what we do know that we have is we have Rematch Mania, as it's been dubbed stupidly.
Do we want to go ahead and talk about...
Teaser. Okay. We're going to rip into our core demographic at the end of the show.
Oh my God, boy, do we have a story for you, ladies and gentlemen.
But we do have John Cena versus The Rock.
Twice in a lifetime.
Twice in a lifetime for the WWE Championship.
Yes, but this time it's for the strap.
It is for the strap. For that awesome bull strap.
Yeah, can we really quickly talk about the new belt? At this point last week, they debuted the new WWE title. They did away with the spinner belt, which had been around for, you know, that thing had been around for almost a decade?
I really didn't have a problem with the look of the belt. I like to spin anymore.
Yeah. Once they took away the fact that it could spin, I'm like, oh, I'm okay with it. It's like, but I never had a problem with the spinner belt like a lot of the wrestling fans did.
It looked like something you really wanted to have. And isn't that the point of
exactly.
of a world championship?
Exactly. I mean, people are like, oh, well, it looked like a toy. Well, you know what? It is a toy.
I'm gonna break kayfabe here for a minute, folks.
Kayfabe, good God.
Yes. It's a prop.
Yes, prop in a story.
Yes.
Prop in a television show. I know, heck, we were calling it the sweet science of professional wrestling earlier. I mean, that said, it's still a television show.
I like the centerpiece of the new belt.
I do like the centerpiece. My biggest complaint, it looks like a class ring from Jostens or whatever. It looks like something you would get for graduating high school if you went to WWE High.
Well, you know, they are going after a younger demographic.
I guess, but damn, come on, really?
Yeah, if you put up the two belts and you said pick one versus the two, I would take the spinner belt.
Yeah, I was gonna say I think I'd still take the spinner, but for all of those that are aggravated at the way the belt looks, don't get too upset because if you notice those on the side, those are Brahma bulls. So I'm guessing this title is going to change a couple times like the old title did.
I'm guessing that that's a special title for The Rock.
Probably. I mean, they didn't make people run around with Stone Cold's smoke skull belt back in the day.
Thank God.
Yeah.
They also have the battle for the border.
The battle for the border. I like that.
Also, racist, homophobic, redneck versus Mexican.
You're of course talking about the World Heavyweight Championship match. Heavyweight champion Alberto Del Rio defending against Jack Swagger with Zeb Coulter. Holy Lord, this match is getting all sorts of publicity. Of course, you know about Glenn Beck, of all people, decided to bust the WWE's chops about the Jack Swagger character. And, of course, the WWE being, well, the WWE.
They shot right back at him.
They shot right back at him, and they went to his studio when they tried to invite him on Raw, giving him a platform in front of millions of people a couple weeks ago in Dallas.
Which is 999,000 more people than listen to Glenn Beck regularly.
Yeah, apparently Glenn Beck is on something called...
The Blaze?
The Blaze, that's it. What the hell is The Blaze?
I hit that on the head. Because we're sitting there watching Elimination Chamber.
Yep, we went to B-dubs.
Yeah, and Dawes over here is like, what the hell are they doing? Jack Swagger? What are they going to do with that?
Dude, when Jack Swagger pinned Randy Orton in Elimination Chamber, there was an audible... What? From everybody at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Me included.
Everybody like looked around. It's like, did you just see that? Did Jack Swagger just get in the main event at WrestleMania?
And luckily, not a month before, I had watched the true story of WrestleMania, and they talked about in that, I don't remember exactly when they made that, but up to that current WrestleMania, they talked about every Mania they had and what the main event was and why.
Mm-hmm.
And you remember... it was maybe WrestleMania 9 or something like that was supposed to be at the Coliseum in L.A.
What are you talking about, Slaughter and Hogan?
Slaughter and Hogan.
I don't think that was 9. I think that might have been 7 or 8.
It was one of those early mid-80s WrestleManias.
Mm-hmm.
And it instantly clicked in my head. Jack Swagger is not going to like Alberto Del Rio because of his heritage.
Yes.
and they're going to play politics again.
Mm-hmm.
And the WWE's going to ruffle feathers. And then when Alberto wins, everybody's going to be happy because he beat the racist.
Well, and I'm very glad this story is moving forward, because if you remember a couple of weeks ago, this storyline, this match at Mania, this main event spot, it was very much in question because Jackie Swaggs got busted for possession of marijuana in his car.
He was trying to do Body by Taco Bell.
Yeah, or Body by RVD.
Yes, yeah. Body by RVD.
Oh, speaking of RVD, last week I tried to watch an episode of TNA or
Which
Impact or whatever the hell they're calling it. I figure since we're doing a wrestling podcast, I need to be, what's that word journalists like to use, impartial.
Competent?
Yeah, well, yes, we like to use competent as well. But
informed?
Well, again, you're using words that aren't really used for journalists much anymore, but we like to think so. But
the only time you hear informed next to journalist is in a journalism class.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. That's the only time journalists are informed. But I was watching an episode of TNA Impact, that wrestling.
Hulk Hogan needs a paycheck.
Yeah, Hulk Hogan's ATM machine, but... hand to God, I will say this with all, I'll say this up front, I had the sound turned down, so I wasn't 100% sure what was going on with the segments, but I look up, and there is a dude who walks into RVD's dressing room, and RVD has an apple and a knife in the side of it, and he's hollowing it out, then blows out the apple. So we saw on television, on cable television, he was the current X Division champion, I think, Rob Van Dam, making a bong out of an apple.
Are we really surprised?
No, but yeah, that's the thing. We're not surprised, but at the same time, you're going to show that shit on television? Really?
It is Spike.
Yeah, that is true. Nobody's watching.
And I guess they could always say, well, you don't know what he was coring the apple out for.
Yeah, he was making that bong for tobacco.
Yeah, because people smoke tobacco out of bongs.
Well,
they go through that much trouble when you can go buy a pack of Marlboros.
Yep. Well, that reminds. I mentioned this to you. I want to say at Elimination Chamber, there was an old metal magazine. I think it was Metal Edge. And if you remember back in ECW, Rob Van Dam came out to Walk by Pantera.
Mm-hmm.
And they were doing word association with Pantera, and they said Rob Van Dam. And Pantera's response, really good weed.
Yep. So. To steer ourselves back on track, we'll go...
Yes, back on subject.
Back on subject. Alberto Del Rio, who's doing a surprisingly good job as a heel.
Yes.
Or as a face, rather. Get my terminology right. I am a wrestling fan. I do know the difference. Allegedly.
Allegedly.
But this is interesting, because at first I think both of you were really like, okay, this is kind of weird, him being a face all of a sudden. We like it, but... are people really going to buy it?
Well, this has been something that's been going back a couple months ever since Del Rio won the World Heavyweight Championship off the Big Show. I don't want to say slowly, because ever since then, he's been a face. And some nights, it works. Some nights, it's like he is a super hot baby face who anything he does will elicit a reaction and the crowd will go insane. Other nights, though, it really feels like he's trying way too hard and he's having to... pander to the crowd to get that reaction.
I still like Del Rio versus Swagger. They're two competent wrestlers.
Oh yes, yes. I'm 100% looking forward to this matchup. Part of the reason, yeah, like you said, they're both really good workers. But part of the reason, this storyline's fantastic.
Yeah, it's clearly delineated.
Mm-hmm.
Good guy, bad guy.
Yes.
Although sometimes it cracks me up that they started this in the middle of the South.
Yeah,
the guy talking about how the Mexicans need to go home got booed by a bunch of Southerners.
Yeah.
Just to typecast and stereotype my own people. But let's be honest, you're in the middle of Lafayette, Louisiana.
Yeah, and in all honesty, I'm surprised they haven't run into it where the crowd cheers for Swagger instead of Del Rio. Because, like you said, you don't want to stereotype us as a fan base. But I'm willing to bet there's a lot of people like, you know what? At Jack Swagger and Albert and Zoltan, he's right.
Well, I don't 50-50 because our country is not 50-50 racist. But
certain parts of it are.
Okay, but my point being, there's enough people who think that on both sides that illegal immigration issue.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
That it's interesting that they're fully behind Del Rio, but you know, It's wrestling.
Well, and I do have to, I guess, give a proverbial tip of the cap to the WWE for putting together a storyline like this. I mean,
having the balls.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the WWE, this is not anything new for them using something that's current in the news. But for them to take on such a hot-button issue, I mean, this is, like, pretty ballsy. And Vince McMahon is a man who's known to have gigantic huevos, so to speak.
Cojones.
Yes, the balls.
But anyway, so you got that. That's going to be a fantastic match that mm-hmm. is probably going to lead off Mania.
I don't know if it's going to lead off Mania. In years past, the World Heavyweight Championship has been leading off Mania. I would be surprised.
The storyline's too good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like I wouldn't be surprised if, well, this is either going to be the next to last match or the third to last match. And because, I mean, this is going to be one of their bigger storylines heading into Mania.
Think about the egos involved in the other matches and tell me this is not going to be the third to last match. There's no way it goes higher than that. Anyway.
Yeah, that's why I said it would be the third to last match, or maybe even the fourth to last match, because coming out of Raw on Monday, we now have two new matches, the first being Brock Lesnar versus Triple H. Triple H gave a pretty damn good promo on Monday as to why he's coming back. He made some line about he was being the COO and even cut his hair, which I liked being an old school Metallica fan, and then be like, well, they sold out as soon as they cut their hair. But it looks like we're going to have a rematch of their SummerSlam matchup. And then the big one, The Undertaker, is being wheeled out. He's going for 20-0 at WrestleMania as he takes on the best in the world, former WWE champion, CM Punk.
Speaking of best in the world, not to toot my own horn, but what did I tell you they were going to do?
Yeah, you said it was probably going to be Punk and Taker. I was kind of hoping for Lesnar Taker, just because a couple years ago when Brock was still in the UFC, I want to say it was did he lose to Shane Carwin?
No, he choked out Shane Carwin.
Okay,
Okay, Carwin had him on the rope, so to speak.
Okay, well, I'm not a big MMA guy. I like my man-on-man violence to be a little more scripted and to involve folding chairs. But but it was the fight where Brock lost, and it was like holy shit, Brock Lesnar lost a match, and
that would have been Cain Velasquez.
Yeah, and Taker was in the audience, and Ariel Helwani was right as Brock walked by, and Taker stopped doing what he was doing. Are we gonna do this? Are we gonna do this now? And Brock kept walking, which I mean, at the time, people thinking, well, Brock's gonna come back and. And everybody's like, no, that's ridiculous. Brock will never come back to WWE. Well, he's come back. And
that's what happens when you do a lot of steroids and get diverticulitis.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. We don't want to get sued.
Yeah, and that was all Will Rapp. I'm not saying Borklaser did steroids, because Borklaser could tear my head out.
Come at me, Borklaser. Come at me, Paul Heyman.
Well, you being a Paul guy, that's kind of ballsy. But, yeah, so those are the matches that are 100% confirmed. There are some matches that we think might be happening starting this week.
Yeah, I heard Jericho is going to be in a panty on a pole match.
No, it's going to be Vince Russo on a pole match. But this week, it looks like they're going to be doing The Ryback versus Mark Henry, which, oh my God, I'm so looking forward to that.
Pantera bread match?
Yeah, a Pantera bread on a pole match. For those of you who don't get it, we're referring to Ryback as The Ryback and his fearing Panera bread from a... Well, Rab, you want to tell them about it?
Hey, if you like good wrestling podcast, I would suggest that...
You listen to this one.
First, you've made it 30 minutes into this one, so congratulations.
Or our condolences, depending on which way you think.
Or condolences. Mostly, if it's condolences at this point... when you get done with the full show, I would suggest that you go check out Wrestling with Rosenberg, Peter Rosenberg, Hot 97 in New York. Huge wrestling fan and able to use his connections to bring his platform to bring in all the top guys, mm-hmm. past, present, and does these interviews, puts them on YouTube. They're 15, 20 minutes.
They're really entertaining.
Really good. Not afraid to, you know, break the fourth wall, so to speak, and talk about the business.
The boys in the back.
And he interviewed Daniel Bryan. I'd suggest you start with that one.
Yeah, that is such a good interview.
And basically, Daniel Bryan travels on the road with Ryback, and
Cody Rhodes' mustache.
And Cody Rhodes' mustache.
By the way, that was my pick to win the Royal Rumble this year.
And Rybek is challenged at ordering at Panera.
Challenged is a fun word to use in this
situation.
And
we'll just leave it at that because we really do want you to go watch this wrestling with Rosenberg because we like Peter. He's a good dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's
so we're teasing you. This is what we call a tease in the business. We're kind of telling you what happens.
Yeah,
so if you want to see the full story, Wrestling with Rosenberg YouTube. Yeah. Anyway, back to Mania.
I like how we're teasing other people's work.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
No, not at all, especially when it's good work, such as Peter.
He does a fantastic job.
But, it does look like it's going to be the world's strongest man, the Ryback at Mania. And
the world's hungriest man.
Dude, I am looking forward to this matchup because Mark Henry is one of the most underrated workers going right now. I mean, yes, he's been very injury prone for whatever reason, but I mean, when he's around, bad day to be a white person. Bad day to be anybody standing across from Mark Henry. That dude is a fantastic worker. He's intimidating. He doesn't even have to cut promos.
In his spot in the chamber.
Oh, God, yeah.
Post-elimination.
Oh, God.
Where he puts everybody mm-hmm. in the chamber in the Hall of Pain.
Well, see, that's the thing. Swagger won the match, but I think Mark Henry came away looking better.
Mark Henry stole that match.
Oh, absolutely.
True winners and losers in that match, Mark Henry.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm really looking forward to this match because, well, I mean, it's Mark Henry, big giant MF-er, versus Ryback, also a big giant MF-er. This is going to be a just haymaker throwing bombs type match.
That could be... I wouldn't be surprised if it opened the lead-in match.
Yeah.
Because it's big enough people want to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Because their strategy has been to put a big match early to make sure people
get
have
the
pay-per-view
there, yeah.
ordered. Yeah. But you're not blowing your wad, so to speak.
Exactly. You're not burning the Alberto Del Rio storyline right there.
Which is just too big. All right. We need to step aside again, take another break. Again, we'll be back in just a moment. We'll continue to talk about the matches that we have booked so far. And maybe a match or two we'd like to see at WrestleMania. This is Near Fall Radio on the Butt Munch Chips Radio Network. Somebody gon' get their ass kicked. Somebody gon' get their wings licked. Beat him up, beat him up. Break his neck, break his neck. Beat him up, beat him up. Break his neck, break his neck. Next time on Near Fall Radio, we continue the road to WrestleMania.
Sign point, of course. That's what all the cool kids are doing. We discuss the big names that don't have matches. Mr. Money in the Bank, Dolph Ziggler, without a match. Former 6-time world heavyweight champion Chris Jericho, he's without a match as well.
Jack is bright. Man, who would think of wearing something that stupid?
And we have a special guest. It's Near Fall Radio, exclusively on the Butt Munch Chips Radio Network.
Butt Munch Chips. Sit on your butt and munch. Welcome back to Near Fall Radio here on the Butt Munch Chips Network. I am Landon Dunn, joined, as always, by my co-host, Will Rabb. And we're talking about Mania, and coming out of SmackDown on Tuesday, it's kind of looking like we're going to see The Shield versus Sheamus, Randy Orton, and The Big Show.
Well, Show doesn't really have anything to do, and he's some muscle.
That is true.
He's a bad dude. That's a weird matchup, though, because it kind of crossing streams, so to speak, two faces and a heel.
Yeah, but I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if this is the start of a turn for Show, because I mean, where can he go from now? I mean, he did what, 3 or 4 rematches against Del Rio for a couple months to get the title back. Then he was in that 4-way match to try and get the spot against Taker at Mania. But I mean, where's he going? What does he have left to do as a heel?
That's true. This could be the turn. The Shield's taken out once and for all.
Oh, speaking of, I love their promo this past Monday. We're recording this on the 6th of March, so that episode of Raw would be on the 3rd, I believe.
The 4th. That would be old school Raw.
Yeah, the old school Raw episode. The Shield's promo was fantastic. The more I see of these guys, the more and more excited I get.
Yeah, but I think that what they're about to do is kill the Shield and extract the alpha dogs out of that group, mainly Reigns.
I don't know. I don't think you can kill the Shield angle until Ryback has his payoff. And maybe they're not gonna be able to do it at Mania if they're doing Ryback and Henry.
That's true.
And I mean, yes, the Shield's been running around since Survivor Series, but I really feel like we haven't seen a lot of them. They're just coming in at the end of Raw and causing a big schmoz brawl, or they're coming in and kicking the Miz in the face or whatever, and then they leave. I really feel like, yeah, they've been around
they
a couple
keep,
months.
I mean, they can keep, you know, putting together what seem like invincible teams and people not being
able
to beat the Shield.
And them finding a way to win. I mean, if go back to Elimination Chamber. They had that six-man match against Sheamus, Ryback, and Cena.
And you thought there was no way.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Well, and the thing
three
was,
biggest faces in the company.
And the Shield found a way to beat them. I mean, yep. Cena was going to pin, I want to say, Rollins at that point when Reigns just breaks Sheamus with a spear and gets the 1-2-3.
Yep.
Just bang out of nowhere.
Yep.
So I really like what they're doing with the Shield. I am afraid we're getting kind of short on time with the Shield because I'm afraid the WWE is thinking the same route as you. They're getting ready to break up the Shield.
Maybe it goes one more match at a big pay-per-view after Mania.
Yeah, but the question is, where do you do it then? Because the next quote-unquote big pay-per-view after Mania is going to be SummerSlam.
Okay, well,
and
maybe their comeuppance comes at a main event or one of the pay-per-views in between.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking they're going to have to do.
Money in the Bank, maybe, or is that still too far down the road? I mean,
no, honestly, Money in the Bank might be a good place to for them to blow up the Shield. But heck, I'm thinking Ryback's going to be in the Money in the Bank match, at least one of them. And I think Ryback might win it this year.
That's true.
So
that's true.
I don't know. Honestly, I was afraid coming into Mania, coming into Elimination Chamber, I was afraid they were going to break up the Shield.
Pre-Mania,
exactly.
Yeah.
So maybe I'm the wrong person to be screaming, oh, no, we need to give the Shield more time. For all we know, WWE has a couple more months of these guys. But
Could you see an angle where the Shield assist, well, no, because Brock doesn't need it, but somehow they do something to piss Triple H off, and then that's when the Shield dies?
I don't know. I mean,
he doesn't wrestle all that much anymore.
But I kind of feel like
if you put him in some sort of, you know,
I kind of feel like if you insert the Shield into the Brock and Triple H match, that's not to break up the Shield. That's to elevate them. That's to make them that much better.
I'm not even saying that they interfere in the match. I'm saying they interfere after that. That match ends clean, and then for some reason they decide they need to go after Triple H. Because, you know, they're all about justice.
Yeah, they all are about justice. But, well, the question is, I mean, what do you do with the Shield? Because they're good now, and they're still getting reactions. But after a while, I mean, you can't just have them keep coming in and hitting people and with power bombs and just leaving. I mean, I do like the fact that they're actually getting in the ring and fighting. We've seen them on Raw. We've seen them, what, three times through pay-per-view?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I do like that they're getting in the ring. But at the same point, it's kind of like, what do you do? And I'm going to transition to that to another person. You might not like this. I think I'm getting burnt out on Punk.
I don't disagree with that. It's like, what are you you're dead on. We were talking before the show. What is he doing? But what do you do with him when you're shoehorned and you've decided that you have to do Rock Cena too?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying Punk Cena should have been WrestleMania. Because you should build that, and that should be one of those year-long feuds.
Well, I mean, I'm a Punk fan, you're a Punk fan. I honestly don't know if Punk Cena could carry Mania. Because, I mean, that's a match we've seen before. That's a match we've seen a lot. Heck, that's a match we saw several times last year.
Well, not now, because they killed the whole deal of John Cena not being able to beat CM Punk.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have booked that different and put Punk in the main event at WrestleMania just to keep that alive. I would have never had that match on Raw a couple weeks ago.
Even though it was
a great match.
Yeah, I was going to say, that was a fantastic. That right there was the best television match I've seen in a long time.
I mean, just think about if Punk could have just held that fact over John Cena's head.
You
for
still
another
can't
year.
Beat me.
You can't beat me. And for a year, they just feud and you can't beat me. And they might even have a match or two before Mania. And Punk beats him. Then they go to Mania and settle it. You did that for a year.
I just, well,
not to play fantasy booker.
Yeah. I just don't know how you can pass up Rock Cena 2. I mean, it did gangbusters business. And I know people on the internet are like, oh, well, it was billed once in a lifetime. And I think I've even jokingly referred to it twice in a lifetime now. But at
it's
the same time,
wrestling. They lie to you.
Exactly. You know, ABW, always be working.
The 80s, the second annual Slammy Awards built as like the 27th annual Slammy. They lie to you, people.
Yep. Shocking,
TV
I know,
show.
Right? But it's like, I mean,
I don't dislike the idea of Punk versus Taker because Punk's a dick.
Mm-hmm.
And he can build heat. Mm-hmm. And he has nothing else better to do. Mm-hmm. And nobody respects him, but they respect the crap out of that streak. And that's why I thought they would do it.
Mm-hmm. And
I can't get you people to respect me. They don't want to give me another shot at the championship. I don't care about the championship. The championship's irrelevant because you people still don't respect me.
So I'm going to take away what matters
to you. Take away what matters
to you,
and that's what he did Monday. They're putting the pieces in place for what should be a really good WrestleMania.
Yes, I was a little bit hesitant coming into this Mania. I'm like, okay, we'll probably get Rock and Cena, which, okay, that was a fun match. Was it my favorite match from last year? No, but it was fun. I'd like to see it again. And then it looked like they were going to do Del Rio and Swagger for just the last couple weeks. Those were the only two matches we knew we were going to be. It's like, oh, okay, it's going to be Mania. I'm going to get it regardless, but should be all right. But it's like the more and more we hear, okay, all right, I'm getting more and more excited. And there's still a lot of pieces that are unaccounted for. I mean, a couple weeks ago we were asking, what are they going to do with Brock Lesnar? Well, now we know he's going to go fight Triple H. But now we're asking, what are they going to do about Team Hell No? What are they going to do about
Jericho?
I mean, what are they going to do about Dolph Ziggler? I'm really afraid we're going to see Ziggler and Jericho again. That's not to say they don't put on good matchups, but it's just something we've seen. But something we've seen kind of brings us to, I guess, the last little bit of news we have here on this episode of Near Fall Radio.
Absolutely.
And us being on the road to WrestleMania, this feels very appropriate. This comes from causes.com.
Do you want to read this or you want me to read this? I think we should read this whole thing so we can show how stupid these people are.
I got this one. Okay. I got this one. This one is to Vince McMahon, Chairman and CEO of World Wrestling Entertainment Incorporated. This petition is to address the WWE's creative forces' complete and utter laziness of the booking of WrestleMania 29. With the returns of The Rock, Brock Lesnar, and Chris Jericho, this year's WrestleMania has more options for big marquee matches than any other WrestleMania for the past 8 years. But instead of taking full advantage of that, you're giving us a rematch most diehard wrestling fans don't want to see, Rock versus John Cena. A match that the WWE spent an entire year building up as, quote, once in a lifetime. In another Mania 29 match that is rumored to happen is Triple H versus Brock Lesnar, a rematch from SummerSlam just 7 months ago. With so many other options, you are completely wasting the limited appearances of Rock and Lesnar. Give us some matches we haven't seen in a long time, or some matches that have never happened, such as Rock versus Undertaker, Rock versus Triple H, Rock versus Jericho, John Cena versus The Undertaker, Brock Lesnar versus The Undertaker, Brock Lesnar versus CM Punk, Brock Lesnar versus The Rock, or Brock Lesnar versus Chris Jericho, etc. We do not want this year's WrestleMania to be headlined by matches we have already seen within the past year. So please reconsider the booking of WrestleMania 29 with compelling, fresh matches that the WWE Universe would like to see in place of two rematches. And, Rab, do you know how many signatures this petition is asking for?
15. Well, no, wait, that's how many people have signed it.
Yeah, that's how many have signed it. They're asking for
90,000.
90,000.
Let me guess, that's about how many people you can put in MetLife Stadium for WrestleMania?
Off the top of my head, that wouldn't be a bad wager. I want to say MetLife might actually fit more people, but yes, there is a petition on the internet signed by, as of this recording, 15 people to get them to rebook what they're dubbing.
I'll open that back up and scroll to the top because I want to explain to people things that are equally as stupid that have gotten more signatures. Because it recommends, based on your preference that we're looking at this cause, it recommends other causes you might want to be a part of. Ozzy Osbourne for knighthood.
Yes, that Ozzy.
1,313 signatures.
Yep, there are almost 1,350 people who want Ozzy Osbourne to be Knight Ozzy Osbourne.
Sir Ozzy Osbourne.
Sir Ozzy Osbourne. Sir Knight Ozzy Osbourne, as I'll call him. But only 15 want to rebook.
The Sir of Darkness.
Rematch a Mania. Oh, and the best part was they have, when you can sign it, it gives you the option to get some of your friends to sign up, and it says if 9,000 of us get 10 friends to sign, we'll reach our goal of 90,000.
Somebody went to a multi-level marketing class. Yay!
Math is good.
Yay!
But so, Rab, are you going to be signing the petition to stop them from booking Rematch Mania 29?
Are you out of your damn mind?
No. So that's a no then?
That's a firm no.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I can't say I'm too shocked. What really cracks me up is some of the matches they give. An example is instead of Rock, Cena, and Triple H and Lesnar, we get Rock Taker, Rock Jericho, Rock Triple H. I hate to tell you, you live through the Attitude Era. I live through the Attitude Era. How many times do we see those matches?
I think we saw Rock Triple H and Rock Jericho a lot of times.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Like, if you want to see Rock and Triple H, go watch their SummerSlam match from 1999 when they were in a ladder match for the Intercontinental Champion. Of the matches that they give, for examples, the only one I really want to see is John Cena and Undertaker.
Or Lesnar Taker, because we thought
yeah,
that was a pass.
Or Lesnar Taker. Those are really the only two matches that I see that... I guess, as other options than Rock, Cena, twice in a lifetime.
Lesnar Punk
would be good. I don't know if it'd be good. It'd be interesting.
CM Punk versus a bag of groceries. I'll watch that. But
well, I kind of feel like Lesnar and Punk, you'd be like, hi, I'm Brock Lesnar. I'm just going to break you in half. Hi.
Yeah, it's not
really, Brock Lesnar.
I don't understand.
You might be the best in the world, but I'm going to use you to pick my team.
You can't do that. Unless CM Punk decides that he hates Paul Heyman.
Yeah, I mean, and that's because
Brock is not going to turn his back on Paul Heyman.
No.
I don't think Punk is, so that match is not going to happen until they fire Paul Heyman, because Vince is going to do it eventually just to be a dick.
That's the dream storyline that's running around on the internet, is people are clamoring for Punk to either stop being a Paul guy or Paul to stop being a Brock guy or some combination of the two, and people really want CM Punk and Brock Lesnar.
They want CM Punk to be a face again. Stupid, they can't handle him as a heel.
Like we said earlier, I'm a Punk fan, you're a Punk fan, but boy, there are some very interesting fans out there on the internet.
Oh, I hate to sound like a CM Punk promo.
But you're going to.
But all the same people who think that the pipe bomb was the greatest thing of all time now hate the guy who gave you the pipe bomb.
Yep.
It's a character on a TV show.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people take wrestling really seriously.
And in a land awash with faces, full of faces.
Mostly faces.
Where he's never going to be the best face because John Cena's a better ass kisser. Not as good as Dwayne or Terry, but he can kiss ass better than CM Punk.
Do you smell that? I think somebody's starting to cut a promo here.
Yeah. Why? Business-wise, why would CM Punk not just be a heel and be a really good one, folks?
Well, I will say this. I think Punk is a more natural heel, but again, going back to what I've said a couple times, I kind of don't know where he's going. He's just kind of in a holding pattern.
I think the best
he's
he can
meandering.
Ever do is be a tweener like Steve.
Well, I think Steve was designed to be a tweener, but you living through the Attitude Era.
He was a face.
He was a face, yes. I think that's the one time in Western society when flipping the bird to your boss is going to be like, yeah, that guy's a good guy. The middle finger. It's what 9-year-olds need to learn.
You get my point. You get where I'm going.
No, I get where you're going.
When he first turned heel, I didn't like it. I didn't understand the impetus. I just thought, oh, he's whining. But now I get it.
Well, yeah, it all started when he blew up The Rock when he was trying to people's elbow Big Show.
People don't respect him. Otherwise, in his mind, that's why they brought The Rock back, because they don't respect him. And The Rock got to line.
Well, in storyline.
In story.
Yes.
You get what I'm getting at.
I get what
I didn't understand. At first, I was like, okay, this storyline's stupid.
Well, yeah, it's like when.
But now it's really, really good.
Well, when Punk was done, like day 400 of his title reign, I think I said to you, "It's like, where are they going with this?" I mean, I've enjoyed him having the strap, but where are they going with this? Then it dawned on me, the entire plan was for The Rock to take it off of him at the Rumble. That, that was the plan from day one. So kudos to the WWE for putting that one over. But yeah, couple weeks out till Mania.
Yeah, and
what,
okay,
about a month out. Yeah,
yeah.
Well, April 7th. Actually, 31 days till Mania from the date of this
exactly
recording.
Exactly a month.
Yeah. So, yeah.
You, just to put a cap on it, wrestling fans, if you sign that petition, you
get
don't
out.
Deserve to, to buy WrestleMania.
Yeah. Yeah, that's I really don't like telling fan bases, if you do X, you can't do Y. But yeah, yeah. In this case, if you do X, you can't do Y.
I could agree with them on Rock Cena because they did it before.
Yeah, what
I don't have a problem with them doing it again.
I don't mind them doing it again, and plus that means we get to make the jokes twice in a lifetime, which I'm really looking forward
to.
Yeah,
we get to see that that hard. But the problem is we have to see that John. Well, we would see the John Cena horrible hard sell anyway. So
yeah, yeah, we're going to see that no matter who he's fighting. But yeah, we're 31, 32 days out till Mania, which gives us a couple weeks to get more episodes in. We're thinking at least two episodes
between
now and Mania.
We're thinking at least two with a special bonus match,
maybe,
possibly.
Yeah, on the table. We're also thinking, depending on how well these next two podcasts go, we're thinking of doing a live immediate reaction following Mania on the 7th, and we'll hopefully get that up either late April 7th or early April 8th. But be sure and keep coming back here at buttmunchchips.com. Be on the lookout for more episodes of Near Fall Radio, because we will be having a couple between now and Mania, and hopefully past Mania.
And anything else stupid we come up with.
Yeah, pretty much.
We talks about another show, but we didn't really develop the concept fully yet.
Well, as the CEO, COO, owner, and proprietor of Butt Munch Chips and buttmunchchips.com, let me tell you, there will be more podcasts being posted to this fine website. Now, it might be at SoundCloud in the meantime while I figure out how to do my website, but it will be online, and we will tell you where to be able to download it. So for my co-host Will Rabb, I'm Landon Doan. Thanks for listening to the very first episode of Near Fall Radio, and we'll see you again.